So today I have some window and door silicone. Okay. I have silicone. It's four. Yeah, two front and back. Yeah. I have vegetarian chopped liver. What's that? I can't hear of it.
I've got glue in it.
I have all-purpose adhesive, paintable, what is this? Caulk. Adhesive caulk. I have a mineral hand cream.
Oh, we have that.
I have petroleum jelly. I have Play-Doh. Okay. I have
Dermoplast
and cortisone 10 plus. Okay. In the spray and in the cream. I have lightweight spackling. Anybody ever use it? This is good stuff. I have a spackling knife, putty knife, and toothpaste. Okay. Oh, and Cracker Jacks. Anybody want to know why I have the Cracker Jacks?
Absolutely.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Because I can't eat them. You guys have them.
Because
you're going to
spackle with the
cracker. What?
It's
going to spackle
with the cracker.
What? They're milk. They are milk. Yeah, OUD. This is peanut butter brittle. Anybody want some?
Everything is on. Why do you like this
peanut
butter?
It breaks through a lot.
What's that? This stuff?
It's great.
It's very light. It's good for, I use it for, yeah, stuff like that. It's actually kind of nifty, because it's very, very lightweight. You can, it's fiber. Okay. Last we spoke about silk. We started with the idea of I lost my train of thought, of mimareach, which means spreading. And today we're going to have to figure out what is permissible to spread and what is not permissible. So we learned last week that soap, liquid soap, was permissible. And we talked about at the very end, you know, we talked about the idea of what mamachek really is, of smoothing. Remember that it came from the idea of tanning, okay, and of taking something that's I guess hard or ply or soft, and you're going to mold it into a form, and then it's going to take a final form. So one good example of that would be, let's say this spackle, right? This spackle right now is pliable. It's like butter, actually, nice soft butter. So you take it, right, and you use it. You use your spackling knife. And I'm making a mess, but that's okay. Mm-hmm. What should I spackle?
What
do
you
have to do? What?
Top of the
Play-Doh thing. Okay, top of the Play-Doh thing. Right? Right, and you see the goal, actually, in the spackling is to smooth it out.
Almost like cream cheese on a bagel.
Almost like cream cheese on a bagel. It actually is quite like cream cheese on a bagel. Okay? And the trick is you have to get it really smooth. That's hard. Okay, so we'll come back to our spackling at the end and see what happens to our spackling at the end. This, what I just did, is a malacha d'oraisa. Because I just did the act of smoothing. I did that, and I wanted to stay permanently. Well, not in this particular case, but I'm going to want it to stay permanently. And you just smooth it off your finger, and you're all set. Okay? That's a malacha d'oraisa. That's a malacha of mimareach, of smoothing. And mimareach, as we learned, with the hide, was tanning something, was taking your hide and smoothing it out. Okay? What about other things? Does smoothing apply only to something? This I would call, how would you define this substance?
Play-Doh?
No. The spackling, the stuff.
Some kind of plastic,
no? Semi-solid.
Solid, a semi-solid, right. Is it? What is it? Semi-solid, a solid?
Well, a semi-solid to become solid when it hits the air.
A semi-solid that hardens into a solid.
Right.
Okay? Another example would be, as we're going to see, wax. Okay? How many people have done the following on Yontif?
I do that only on Hanukkah.
Right?
To stick it into
the next one, right? On Yontif. Right? So you want to do that. Anybody ever done that?
Not on Yontif.
On Yontif, you're not allowed to do it, right? Why? Because if you do it, you're melting the wax, you take it in as a semi-solid, and you're going to do it again to make it solid, and that you're not allowed to do. Okay, one thing the Gemara, when she talks about, we'll see exactly what the Gemara discusses, doing something similar. Okay. Says the Mishnah. This is the Mishnah on Shabbos, on Daf Kuf Mem Vav Amud Aleph. Mishnah says, Shover Adam es hachavish, lechol heimenu grogros. Let's say I want, we're going to get to this eventually also, I want the figs inside my barrel, so I'm going to have to break the barrel in order to get to the grogros, the figs on the inside. similarly, and that's similar to certain things that we're going to talk about opening packages and things of that nature. We're not talking about that today, but that we're going to talk about. I'm going to see that that's one of the important factors on the condition that I don't have kavana to make a kli. And some utensils, when I open them, I'm making a kli, and some of them, I'm not. You're not allowed to make a hole in the magufa shachavet. Is magufa the cover? Gene, do you have any idea?
Magufa.
Magufa, I don't know. The part of some part of the barrel, the Rabbi Huda, the Chachamim Matirin. If don't make a hole on the side, right? And if it had a hole in it, lo yiten aleha shava b'nei shehu mitmareya. Okay? So if it had a hole in it, what would they used to do? They used to take, right? They used to take this little piece of wax, okay? And they would sort of melt it on, right? Melt it around the side, or whatever. They would sort of melt it around, okay? And then they would plug it in that hole. And it would make, you know, a very nice hole, and it would stop it up. So you're not allowed to do the take that wax and stick it on the hole because you're mimareach. Now, my example actually was not such a good example because they use a different type of wax. There's all types of wax. What kind of wax do they use usually? What kind of wax do they have available? How do you make tallow? It's like pitch, right? Right. And what is the consistency of the tallow?
It's almost, I guess it's closer to the thickness of the scaffold.
Right, exactly right. So you would take it, and what they would do is put it over this hole in their barrel, right? And then what they would do is, the way they would do it is smooth it in, slip it in so that it would stay, and it would harden, and now you have you've covered up your hole in your barrel. You plugged your hole. So that you're not allowed to do. Why? B'nei shehu mimareach.
You could stick a cork in it.
A cork you could stick in, yeah, because the cork you're not going to do anything to. Actually, this type of candle you probably would be able to, if you didn't melt it, you just dip it in there, you know. All you're doing is dipping it in there, that's fine. Okay?
You heat it up and you just stick it in.
Oh, that you're not allowed to do. Right, for sure you're not allowed to heat it up. Why? You're not allowed to heat it up for a number of reasons. One reason would be, you're cooking it. That's cooking. Cooking isn't just food, it's anything. Okay? You're not allowed to cook, for sure. But another reason also, then you're smoothing it out, that's why you're not allowed to, even though on Yom Tov you're allowed to cook, but I'm not allowed to go do this, because I'm making something softer, smoother. Wow. See what happens when this stuff burns? That's cool. Okay. Oh yeah, that's not a problem. Okay. We're done with my candles. Says Rashi, Shum Mimareach. Rashi, of course, explains, V'yesh kan mishum memachek. Memareach is part of memachek, of smoothing, as we learned last time. So the Gemara says, the Gemara in Kuf Mem Vav Amud Bed, remember we learned those two terms, there's memachek is the av, memareach, smoothing, is the toga. So now we're going to have to figure out, though, what is the level of memachek, meaning, what about this cream, this hand cream? Well, it even comes out right away, right? You have this wonderful hand cream from Israel. What about that consistency? Right? Is that thick enough that you would not allow to smooth it? You're not allowed to spread it. What about quarter zone 10 cream? You know, for medical purposes. What about those reasons? We're going to talk about all of these things, and hopefully we'll come to a conclusion. Okay.
But wouldn't it just from the heat of your hand? It's melting. Remember, you used the stove last week.
I'm not melting it. I'm not melting it. What am I doing?
Why are you putting it
out? What? Because it feels good.
Let me go back.
No. I'm not melting it. What am I doing? See, it's actually interesting. This is actually a machlokas in the Achronim. In this case, there's a big difference between my spackle. Where in the spackle is not going anywhere. I'm smoothing it to create a flat surface. There's a huge difference between that and the hand cream. Why? Because hand cream, it's going away. It's gone altogether. So a few poskim feel that if you're dissolving into the hand, that's not a problem in the Maria. Most folks can disagree strongly and say, no, it is a problem. You're not allowed to do it. One would not be permitted to do it.
What if you just took some plain oil, olive oil?
Yeah, totally permitted.
Why is that different from this?
The
same viscosity as oil?
No.
Yeah, I need a plate.
Here.
Yeah, uncrumbing.
And the oil doesn't heat up with the body
either.
With your
no, I don't think so. It's not, you're not warming it up. Oh, this stuff's nice. That's good enough, Betty. Sorry.
You're making your hands more comfortable.
Okay. This is not horrible.
Right.
Right? This is something... It's interesting. Remember the soap we used last week? That soap, I don't know. That soap is right on the line. Okay? And this actually is a very thin cream. Okay? But let's say you get the thicker creams like Desinin. Or...
You consider that thick?
Yes. Oh, much thicker than Anchory.
You tell me.
What?
Toothpaste? Very thick. Mm-hmm. Right? What? It's not?
No, chemically speaking, they're not.
They're not far apart? One is definitely more thick than the other, without a doubt. Okay. It says the Mishnah, it says Gemara. See where it says source, see where it says Gimel? Vimhaita nekuva, so if you wanted to put on, so the Gemara says, mishcha. What about oil? Look at what Rashi says, mishcha, shemen ab, thick oil. What do we know that's thick oil? Thick oil. No. You're going to put this oil on your barrel in order to stop it up. Crisco. Right, that's thick oil. That's oil that has congealed. Okay? So it says, the Gemara says, the Gemara, Rav Asar, Shmuel, sorry, Rav forbade it, Shmuel permitted it. Man de Asar, the one who forbade it, Gazmina Mishum Sha'ava. So the only reason that this hand cream is Asar, according to the one that says Asar, is because if you're allowed to use this, then you're going to use wax. Wax is the Ab Malacha Mimareach. But if you're not, then if we don't really use that, then you're not going to use wax. Says the Rambam, the Pasuk of Halacha, Rambam source number 2, HaMimareach Ritiya B'Shabbos. Let's say, remember, when the Rambam was using the example of the bandage, correct? The Ritiya's bandage. You're smoothing it. Chayav Mishum Mochek Es Ha'or. It's the same thing as smoothing out the skin. That was the Malacha. The Fikach, therefore, Ein Shos Min Nekev B'Shava U'Kiyotei Ba. Don't plug up holes with wax and similar things. Shema Yim Mareach. Maybe you'll come to smooth it out. And that smoothing is the problem. V'afilu b'shemen, even with oil, Crisco, ain shos min esha nekev, you can't plug up the hole. Why? Gzeira mishum shava. It's a gzeira, it's a decree because of shava, because of wax, that you're not permitted to do that. Okay?
How can you plug up a hole with oil?
With thick congealed oil.
But he doesn't mean oil.
It means shemen. When it says oil, the Gemara says shemen of. Thick oil.
Mishka.
Yes.
Paste.
I mean, I don't know. I've never seen oils that get that thick that will plug up a hole.
So have I? Hebrew, mishka means paste.
Out. Yeah.
You know, that's really very thick.
Have you ever seen a natural oil, though, that got that thick? Probably cottonseed oil, they say. Coconut oil gets very, very thick. Have you ever seen it? I've never... What?
Oil that you put in a refrigerator.
Paste on salad dressings after a while. They use coconut oil.
Really?
And they congeal.
No.
Oh, that's really bad for you. Not anymore. They don't. Think.
The Hoya last year we bought and congealed, and then I figured out why.
Okay. Well, we'll do some science experiments.
Yeah.
Okay. Says the Mishnah Berurah Mechaber and Shimon Shin Yudalid, page 2. Shimon Shin Yudalid says the Mechaber, Asur Litain Shava O Shemen. This is just the same halacha. You're forbidden from putting Shava wax or Shemen Av or thick oil B'Nekev HaChavit L'Sashmo. In the hole of a barrel to stop it up. Why? Mipnei shehu mimareach. Because there's that word again, mimareach, smoothing. Perusha Aruch Lerach says, shicha, mishicha, Gina, I need your help here. Shicha is?
Depends.
No, shicha is like smoothing. Shicha from basuch, to anoint. Mishicha, again, another anointing. Shicha, mericha, shia, inyan echadu. All those things are the same thing, sometimes it's smoothing. Aval, bishar dvarim. Other things, delayed by mishum meruach. Other things that you're not going to smooth out, mutter. Meaning with a plug, with a cork, no problem. But things that you're going to smooth, you're not allowed to. Says the Mishnah Berurah. He says shava. This here says minhei, Mishnah Berurah. Shava shemen av af al gav de'ein meruach b'shemen. Even though you're not going to smooth it out. Meaning, in this oil, in this hand cream. There's no meruach. I'm never going to smooth it out. Correct? No. Not really. What's, remember, what's the definition of smoothing something out? This, I'm glad I brought this spackle. Right? Spackle is smoothing. This, remember, what does all malacha come from? It came from a malacha of memachek, of smoothing, of taking a skin that was harsh and that was heavy and smoothing it out and making something nice and smooth. That was the problem. That was the malacha. So hand cream, I'm never going to smooth out the hand cream.
Yeah, and your board, you put it on your hand?
Yeah, I'm not smoothing it out.
You are. What are you doing?
What do you think you're doing? When you put on hand cream on my hand, and I go like that, I'm smoothing it out of my hand.
Again, let's take the example. Forget the scene or not.
Is my scene or not? I'm still doing
it. Let's take the example of...
It doesn't
look for the original example.
I know it's not hardening, but...
Let's take the original example of your arm, right? Your arm is hairy, okay? Just so happens. So imagine it's a piece of skin, piece of hide. You want to smooth it out the imperfections. Okay? You're taking something that's imperfect and making it more perfect. That's really what we're talking about. You're taking some plaster on the wound and you're smoothing it out. So something that's imperfect that was jagged and making it smoother.
If I have,
you don't buy it? You think it's a diaster? I've got it. He's shipping for Chumers. Yeah.
If I take my hands and my hands are all chapped or cracked,
yeah.
And I take this lotion or cream,
yeah.
I do have cream,
yes.
And I put it on and rub it in, and I'm smoothing it out and rubbing it in.
No, that's not the same type of smooth. Is I mean, how does that work medically? You're not smoothing out your skin. You're making the skin. Really? Wow, interesting. So that might be
hydrating the skin.
Okay, but again, remember, so that's a problem. I'll agree with you. That's a problem. Me, Rabbanan. But Mida Araisa, the only thing that's forbidden is something that that's going to remain solid after you're done with it. So it's not a Mida Araisa, right? This is a Rabbana.
No, it's not going to remain solid.
No, it's not going to, it doesn't, no, it does not remain solid. It is absorbed into the pores.
But as far as the hide, if you're talking about removing the hair,
yeah.
You're removing the hair, so you're not smoothing it. You're taking the hair, you're pulling
you're
the
smoothing it out. You have a rough hide, and you're not just removing hairs, you're smoothing it out. You're smoothing off the top layer.
You see the old hides. The old Sefer Torahs, they weigh a ton. Mm-hmm. The reason they weigh so much is because they used lye to smoothen it up.
Did they? No, I thought that they added, the reason it was so heavy is because they add on the parchment a plaster on the back that they don't do on the newer ones.
No, they use lye to get...
I think I'm right about this one.
They use lye to get it smooth.
Okay.
And it's absorbed inside. Otherwise, if you put a layer on it, it will fall off.
Okay. Look at mem vav mimareach. Mimareach means smoothing. The kevan dehu mishum chashash neruach. Okay, since we're afraid of smoothing it out. Asur afilo imachnis hashemen betoch hanekev ela behanacha be'alma. O gabo milmala. Very interesting. He says, let's say I don't want to smooth it out. You're saying smoothing is the problem, right? So what would be if I say, well, I'm not going to scoop it. Okay, and we're going to see that this is an important distinction. I'm not going to scoop it, but instead, I'm just going to place it there. See, I didn't smooth it out. I just want to place it there. So would that be a problem with this case or not? You understand what I'm saying?
To the example of the matter.
Right. If the whole issue...
It matter if it's smooth, it's only aesthetic.
If the whole issue is because Shema Yimareach, maybe you're going to smooth it, then maybe I could be able to place it there as long as I'm not going to smooth it. So he says, since it's a problem, right, you're not allowed to just place it there because we're afraid, what are you going to do? You're going to say, this is not nice,
just pat it in a little bit.
Right, exactly.
And the more you pat it in, the smoother it's going to
be. Every time you pat it in, you're violating the malacha.
In the first place, what would be done on Shabbos
for anybody? I'm plugging, see, this is a hole in my barrel and I'm plugging it in. So I got my hole here.
You're going to lose the product?
What are you talking about? The wine's going to come out.
Right.
So I want to put the barrel back. So, you know, they didn't have screw tops or corks or whatever. So you just, I just want to stick it there.
You've been blessed for doing this, and now you want to put it back.
And we're going to see that there is a distinction between placing something, between pressing it and smoothing and rubbing it in. We're going to see that there's an important distinction that he's making. Okay, let's look at the next. The problem with these halachos are they appear all over the place in the Shulchan Aruch. They don't appear in one unified place, which is why, you know, you got to get other books to help you bring it all together. Yeah, Mary.
So what if you took... the shemen, the thick oil, you just put it in the hole, you took a cork and you banged it in, on top of that thick oil.
I don't think, no, you couldn't, you're not allowed to place the thick oil there. You're not allowed to place the kishka there. What would you do both for anyway?
That's what I'm talking about.
Why would you need both? Why would you want both? Okay, let's look at Hilchos Shabbos Siman Shift Shin Tesh Zion. Okay, he says Lo Yishashef Biraglav Rok Al Gabe Karka Bishum Dimashve Gumot. Very interesting. This does not apply today for a very good reason. You'll tell me what the reason is. You spit on the ground, spit on the floor. He says you're not allowed to rub it in with your foot. Why? And therefore, yeah.
Therefore, you were creating mud and smoothing it out.
Not mud. No, it says mashva gumot. You're smoothing out. Gumot are imperfections in the floor. So you're fixing the floor.
So it wasn't the spit.
What?
It's not the spit.
It's not the spit.
It's the rubbing.
Okay. Aval, but he says, mutar l'darso l'fitumo, that you can step on it. You're not allowed to stamp on it, but if you're, let's say you're walking on your way, I'm walking around in Miriam's house, and of course, when I need to expectorate, I'm not going to find a sink, I'm going to do it on the floor, so I can spit in front of me and just step on it as I walk by. Okay? So, what?
You're not
in your carpet. Right?
No, water counting, some people spit.
Gosh,
not here.
Not this room, no.
Yeah, good, sorry.
She'eino
mishkavim l'mareach u'lahashvos gumos. Because in that case, it's a davar she'eino mishkavim. You're walking. You're allowed to walk, but you know, so you're not allowed to like, you know, grind it in. V'afagab d'memela m'mareach u, even though memela you're smoothing out. Meaning you're taking your spit and you're smoothing it out. Kilo mechavim, since you're not in mechavim, you're not intending it. Sharei misum mi'ishuta. We permitted it. Why? Because otherwise it would be gross. I mean, don't get me wrong. We find the whole thing gross. But if you would just leave your spit there and not step on it, that was considered in terrible etiquette, gross. But if you walked on your spit, that was considered appropriate.
Spit.
What? I was going to say, Chaim, that there are people say, you know, there are people walking to show and then they'll like spit on the floor on the carpet. I've heard this happen. And like, what are you doing? He says, people will tell you, it's in the Shulchan Aruch, you're allowed to spit in shul. Yeah, you idiot though. That's only when there's a dirt floor, not if it's a carpet. You know, that's why we put it in to spit, you know.
Sink out there.
They say, the old timers say that they always hated the Orthodox shuls. In my old shul in Connecticut, they had terrible memories of the Orthodox shuls because the old people in those Orthodox shuls, they were spitting into the spittoons and they thought it was disgusting. And that always reminded them. You know, if you mentioned a spittoon, that would make them think of the old school.
You know why they spat?
Why not?
They were saying, oh, they know.
They hadn't seen Mishkach on the Hebel Barik.
It was censored out, so instead of, you couldn't be cited anymore.
Oh, by now?
Censored out, so instead of saying what was forbidden, you spat.
Okay.
I remember the barbershops had spittoons.
Yeah?
You don't talk about
it. You know, you notice even now, it's interesting, even at baseball games, almost nobody spits anymore. They don't chew tobacco anymore. Do that?
Yeah. No, they use gum.
They use gum.
Floors.
Sunflower seeds. Sunflower seeds. They don't use, it's considered gross. I mean, you know, it's not appropriate.
No, it's mouth cancer.
Yeah.
Mouth cancer.
So it's all right to scratch personal parts of your anatomy.
Okay.
When you go to bed.
Here. Here's the important line. See where it says, Mishnah Berurah Yud Aleph, in the middle of the page. Al Gabe Karka. It's on the ground. Al Gabe Rishpan on the floor. It says, Talya Bepluka Deshimin Shinla Mezayin Sh'it Beish Gabe Kibud Habayit Bim Rutsaf. They used to have the Machokas, could you sweep the floor on Shabbos or not? Also, because it was the same problem. Nowadays you can sweep the floor because your linoleum isn't getting any smoother when you sweep the floor. Ein sham. Ulha Ramah, the Osa Sham Bechol Gavne, the Ramah says it's forbidden over there. Huhajin Hacha, the Asher Apa Gavi Ritzba. So he said, back then, you could not sweep a regular floor, even a wood floor, because it was a low plug, because there was no distinction. Many people did not have wood floors. So if I went to Miriam's house and I saw her sweeping her floor, I assumed that I could sweep my floor as well, when I could not. Okay.
Because one was wood and one was dirt.
Dirt.
And there would be a problem if it was a wooden floor that the sweepings would fill in the cracks.
Nah, I don't think so.
What about the bristles coming out?
Oh, that's another question. Okay. Well, why would that be a problem? They're not shearing it. It's not alive. It's not a piece of skin.
No, they have the
sandals. Especially now, with bristles, and you're breaking, therefore? I don't think that's a problem.
Yeah,
can't be intentional.
Correct.
It just wouldn't happen.
It might be an unintentional result, but not really on a purpose.
You know that the unintentional result could happen, so therefore it's becoming intentional.
I'm not convinced. Okay.
It's a charlotte program.
What?
It's a charlotte program.
Yeah, you really are like, you're like coming up with all the hummus today, you know? Like, okay, that's what you wanted. No, I don't think so. Okay.
He wants to be able to, as far as he has, sweep the floor society.
He says, I'll got you. Oh, I can't. The rabbi said I can't sweep the floor.
You didn't know that, did you?
The Algabe Shasa, what about on a Shasa, on a bench? Can I sweep the bench? Lekule Almasari. Of course. Yeah. The low Shayach Mashiach of Yagulos. Because you're on a bench, there's no hole, there's no dirt. Umishum me ruach gufa lekalamesha. What about when I'm stripping the spit in there? Forget the gumos, right? Let's say the spit is on the carpet. So what about me ruach? Aren't you smoothing the spit into the carpet, right? You don't like this?
He doesn't have to go on the guy. He just has to
learn halacha. Right, yeah. Why? It's the fifth line, the last thin line before the Y. Delo shayach. Okay. Delo shayach me ruach. Ella kishim mareach eze davar al gabe chavero. The kavanato shiyit mareach. Look at how he says it. I have to read it again. Lo shayach mareach ella. The only time smoothing is relevant is shememareach eze davar al gabe chaver. When I'm smoothing one thing on top of another, bekavanato shiyit mareach, and I want it to become smooth. But aval kan rotze shiyihye nivla. But I want, in this case, I want it to become absorbed.
So that's rubbing the.
It sounds like that. But most folks do not allow to rub in an ointment because they feel like sort of like what Eddie said. When you rub it in, you don't want it to go in. You don't want it to become absorbed. See, here he's saying the dirt floor. You want it gone. You're trying to allow it to evaporate more quickly. Here you're not trying to evaporate it. You're trying to rub it into your skin. So therefore,
if it's medical, there's a difference.
We'll talk about that also. Okay. Therefore, if something is liquid, right? Or I'm just trying to get it to be absorbed or dissolved. That's not nimareach, and that's not a problem at all. And so the example that the Ramah gives of spit is an example that anything that's of that nature, of that viscosity, olive oil or baby oil or water, you know what I'm saying, or like you said, liquid soap, no problem at all. That's not a problem in ruach, and you can smear it to your heart's content. Okay, I would say even honey would be honey's food anyway. I guess if you wanted to use honey for a non-food purpose, I don't know. When we use, I don't know. Whatever. Okay. Yeah. Okay. But I wanted to show you that. I just wanted to show you also one more thing about being things that are gross. Here, Kashav Magen Avram, 3 lines from the bottom in the middle of the line. Kasha v'magen Avram. The Magen Avram writes. Magen Avram is the commentary in the Shulchan Aruch. Ha'idna nowadays, deleka dekapi barok mishum mi'isuta. He said in the Shulchan Aruch time back in the 1600s, they thought spit was gross. But nowadays, nobody has any problem with spit. In his time, 100 years ago. Yeah. Tzarech le'izayr shelo yiyasum shifshuv derech alav. Don't mush your hand and foot around when you're walking on it. Rak yatsi graglo ala rok. Just walk over it. Okay, he says, "Ubelecha yotzei min hapeh o min achote." And what about expectorant? Need I translate? Everybody go. You know what expectorant is?
Yes.
Vada ika mi'isuta. That's gross. V'sharei l'darso l'fituma. And then you should make sure you step on that stuff. Okay. Ubebeis akneses in shul afilu b'rok sharei l'darso alav l'fituma dinar yibo kavod. You have to have kavod beis akneses. So in shul, as you walk by, you should make sure that it gets into the carpet. Okay, so next time you're in social hall and they're complaining to you about the carpet stains, now you'll know why. I thought I would share with you because it's always interesting. But it's interesting to me also that the Shulchan Aruch considered spit something that was most inappropriate. Later on, it's not appropriate. It's not, no problem. No, we love spit. It's great. And then, nowadays, spitting isn't considered so appropriate anymore. Anyway. What? I didn't read Dune. Okay. Let's look at something even more modern. Igros Moshe, some of Moshe Feinstein. The Nakot Shinayim B'Shabbos Yom Tov. I want to brush my teeth, says Rav Moshe. Ubedavar the Nakot Shinayim B'Shabbos Yom Tov. What is the next two words? Top line, last words of the line. Miriam, see if you can read it.
Toothpaste.
Toothpaste.
Oh, toothpaste.
I love translating. Moshe is right. I always translated to you this. In toothpaste. Okay. Pasuk she'asa memachek. He just says, using regular toothpaste is clearly memachek. It's aser. And I've never seen anybody say that it's mutter. Using regular toothpaste is not permitted. Let's just finish the tuba. Why?
Because the
nozelet
is okay.
Right. Let's finish the tuba. You cannot use...
There is
liquid toothpaste. You cannot use this toothpaste on Shabbos. Right, that's what aser means. Right. Forbidden. Okay? I think that that's a misconception. People don't really know it. They don't really, not really aware of it.
Some people think you can put it on their finger and use it because you were talking about the brush, but that's...
Right. So you put it on your finger. What have you accomplished?
You're smoothing.
Right, you're smoothing. Then you're really smoothing also. Oh, below toothpaste. What if I don't want to use toothpaste? Biha brush. Right? That's how we write. That's how much we write to this Jewish. The brush miyuchad lezeh. It's a special brush. Mutar. It's permitted. Shehu kamo rechitzat shar eiver. It's like washing any other limb. Aval yishtof rak pitzonim. But of course it has to be cool, not warm, not hot water. Now also, remember, what did we say about what kind of brush you need? Remember we talked about it?
Dry.
No, not dry. It doesn't have to be dry.
Newer.
One that doesn't absorb the water. Okay, so then you're right. Then you can use your Shabbos toothpaste. Okay, toothpaste.
But this is not to fill in any holes, and it's not to, it's not going to get hard.
That's the point. Even though this is to fill holes and to get hard, remember, the Shulchan the Mishabura wrote that they also ushered using shemen of any kind, any thick oil, because they were afraid because you were going to use the wax itself. So therefore they forbade this because they were afraid you were going to use this. One cream was ushered because of another cream. That's the gzera that the Rabbanan made. Shemen. Remember the shemen, the oil that the Rabbanan said was forbidden, it wasn't going to get hard. Right? Shemen, thick oil. Or even if it was going to get hard, you're not even allowed to trace it. Well, thick oil was. So the Rabbanan would go there on two things. One, placing thick oil, even placing it, or two, smoothing thinner oil. You know, semi-solid that can be smoothed out. Right? This, you're not allowed to smooth out because maybe you're going to come to smooth one another thing out.
You said something about a liquid toothpaste?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Kayadent from Israel, right?
Okay, but also,
Mentadent, doesn't it?
Yeah, Colgate has it also.
A liquid toothpaste? Mm-hmm.
So
therefore, if you need to brush your teeth on Shabbos, you have to have a special toothbrush which you've tested that doesn't hold water, doesn't hold liquid. Meaning, you say, it holds liquid. When you hold it upside down, that's one thing. When you hold it right side up, of course it's going to hold because of that. Remember, we talked about the idea of the surface tension of the bristles. Right, when you turn it upside down, the water should really be coming, should be pouring out. So you can use that, and you can use a Shabbos toothpaste, and that would be the permissible way to brush your teeth. But if the brush isn't the right brush, or you're using regular toothpaste, one would not be permitted to brush their teeth on Shabbos.
What about tooth powder? I remember as a kid, you got tooth powder.
I don't have it anymore, anyway.
No, but I mean, that was used only for Shabbos.
How do you use it? Yeah, how do you use it? Dry?
Dry, yeah.
Yeah, so remember Moshe writes. He says it's that brush, the brush, tov shelo lelachlek l'mayim kodem hanikoy, michshas chita l'seir. It's better not to get it wet. It's better to brush your teeth dry, because maybe you're going to be soaked that you're going to squeeze it out. But if you have it, meaning also remember, I'm not sure what kind of toothbrushes they had in the time that he was writing this, in the 50s. What kind of brushes did they have?
Same kind
as they
have now.
Think so? I don't think you're right. They were not synthetic. They were natural.
Right.
So those held water.
They held, yeah, absolutely. It was made of a real bristle. Probably, what did they make it out of? I don't know. Probably boar's hair or something.
I thought the...
Camel hair. It was animal hair. So remember, even as hard as it was, when did they start getting synthetics? So probably the plastics developed over time.
World War II.
The issue around toothpaste was because of NOLA, because it changed the form of it.
Why?
It
because, you know, you change it from kind of a semi-solid to a liquid.
Yeah, but you're allowed to. What's the problem of diluting? Remember, you're allowed to take a thick and make it and dilute it smaller. Remember we learned last week? You're allowed to take a soap and put it in water and let it dissolve. So that's not a problem. It's not a nola problem. It's a mamachik problem. It's a problem of mamachik. Yeah. The acharanikos, the Ramosha adds another point, which I think is a good point people don't know about. Lo yurchas a brush. When you're done brushing your teeth, don't wash the brush. Why? Afshalo b'shivshuv she'ein sham she'ein tzchiti, because you're not going to squeeze it out. B'shum she'ein lo tzorach shuv hayom. The last time you brush your teeth that day, you don't need the brush anymore. So then why are you rinsing it off?
Because you do use it again.
Yeah.
When?
Use it at night and then in the morning.
So again, that's obvious. If
at night it's shot.
If you're going to
shop.
Yeah. If you're going to
shop.
In
the morning.
I never understood that.
What?
I never understood brushing your teeth early in the morning. You brush your teeth the night before.
Nighttime.
That's mouthwash. You brush your teeth the night before. Your teeth are already clean. Unless you've ate in between.
No, but you
just
got
back
in your mouth.
I never understood it.
So I can't get up and not wash.
Okay.
In fact, but you know what? That's a good point. I just realized it's so forced a habit to rinse off your toothbrush. And
correct.
You have to really consciously
do that. The last time. So point is, the last time you brush your teeth on Shabbos in the permissible way, don't wash the brush.
You can't put it in a glass of water?
Is that the place you normally keep it?
No, but it would at least keep it.
No, because remember, you're doing an act intentionally to prepare for after. You can wash it afterwards. It'll come out, whatever it is, it'll come out. Yeah. What? Then rinse it off.
That's what you can't do.
After Shabbos.
What do you do from Friday night to Shabbos morning?
What do you mean?
Then you could because it's for Shabbos.
You're allowed to prepare for something on Shabbos.
That's going to end up drying before the next morning.
That's fine. Okay. Look at the next one. Simi Kufya Dalin. See if you can figure out what the Shaila is in the next one. Yeah, Hersha, what is it?
Makeup.
Lipstick.
Right. I don't have that problem.
Well, you do.
Just with lipstick.
That's it. Same thing. A woman putting on lipstick. Ubedavar imutar the isha liyitkashek lipstick. Can a woman put on lipstick? Hine asur mishum shnei ta'amin. It's double asif. Why? The isur memachek. Remember we learned memachek, smoothing. Umi isa tviya. You're also coloring. Imhu lach. Let's say they have liquid lipstick. The real lipstick apparently you paint on, right? Okay. Look, shaleka memachek yishal kalpan and isur tviya. You're coloring. You're dying, and that's forbidden also. We're going to get to that sooner or later. We're going to talk about different forms of dying that are prohibited. Okay? You're not allowed to color your face because it's tzviya. Aval, look what he says. Lizrok es ha-powder, lavan al ha-panim. That's why you just want to splash some white powder on your face. Shalom mitkayin klal, ein baze isa tzviya. So then now they have kosher and non-kosher makeup, all those different kinds of makeup. I don't know the difference between them. I haven't studied it well, what's kosher and what's not kosher when it comes to makeup.
The pigmentation came from insects.
What's that?
The red pigments, they get derived from insects.
All of them?
Well, some of them, and that's why there was such...
I don't think so. They're not natural colors anymore. They're all probably...
Well, back then. This was written...
Oh, no, it's because it's tzviya, though. The problem is colorizing. It's coloring something. Okay.
Oh, it's crazy.
The concept of the Mimareach Act.
What are these berries, raspberries, or...
Actually, what they were using was insects.
Actually, you should just know that in candies, on many candies, like Skittles and things like that, they were also using insects, crushed up insects. It was called, the product called gelatinous glaze. It's gross. But that's how they got it to have that shiny, the hue of like goobers and raisinettes. Chocolate is not shiny. Yeah, so before it became kosher, one of the reasons it was not kosher is because they used bugs. Gelatinous glaze. Gross. Okay.
Thanks for sharing.
Page 3. The concept of the Mimareach Act. This is from Rabbi Ribbiat. Memareach entails smearing, not pressing. It is important to understand that memareach is the tolda of memachik, and therefore must fall under its general premise. Memachik, the av malacha, is basically an act of smoothing, a process whereby a solid surface is scraped or rubbed by lateral, i.e. side-to-side, motions against the surface. Memareach, the tolda, is similarly a form of smoothing, with the only difference being that it is applicable to pliant, moldable substances instead of hard, solid materials. Okay? The machik is with lipstick, or soap or whatever. Mimareach is, here's a, it's already getting, well, it's not getting hard because I keep working it, but this is mimareach. It's pliable, right? And I'm just smoothing it into a paste, into a crack, into a smoothing whatever. Okay. Oops. In the midraisa application of mimareach, i.e. soft wax to congealed fat, the malacha can only take place with rubbing or smearing type motions. This can only occur with pressure that is applied in lateral movements. Merely applying vertical pressure to the substance and thereby flattening it or changing its shape is not mimareach, even if the process substance becomes smooth initially in the process. That's midraisa. Now, A1, rabbinic restrictions, that's Torah. According to the Torah, you have to smooth, like the skin.
So therefore, if you took a ball with Play-Doh, if you had Play-Doh and you had a little ball and you smashed it like that, that's not mimareach.
Correct.
Well.
Well, midaraisa.
Oh, never mind.
Here, I got my Play-Doh. Right, Play-Doh is a good example. This Play-Doh would be, well, midaraisa. Play-Doh is exactly like the wax because it will get hard over time, right? So if I want to step up this hole, I just slip it in there.
So that would be...
And that would do well, actually. It would work.
Yes.
Right?
So that would be...
Mimachic.
This would be mimachic. Right. That would be smooth. Rabbinic restrictions. Although pressing is not mimarech midaraisa, there is a general rabbinic prohibition on merely pressing the firm semi-solid substance, such as wax or congealed fat. So meaning, if I want to take this Play-Doh and press it, that's a dirabanan. See what I did? I pressed it in. Oh, we're all set. Good, it's going to stay. That's also a dirabanan. Because the likelihood that one will forget himself and perfect the finished surface by smoothing it. Now this is obviously most often used, like they would use probably, they didn't have sophisticated substances, so you would take it in, and it would be natural that the next thing they would do, once they put it in there, to step it in there, instead of just taking a scoop and sticking it in there, then you would just naturally smooth it. That would be inherently what you would do. The Rabbana obviously had good reasons for fearing that people would act in that way.
Because they have to have a bigger surface to hold that
knot
that's going in.
Right.
If you just push it in, it's not good enough.
These same restrictions were not imposed on rabbinically forbidden substances, such as ointments and creams, as shall be seen further. As the plain explained above, oils and creams. Mimareach midaraisa entails only a rubbing action, not merely dabbing or pressing. It follows that the rabbinic substances of mimareach, like creams, are within the same halachic premises as the midaraisa substance, like wax. Therefore, any act that is not mimareach on a midaraisa substance is certainly not mimareach on a rabbinic substance. Based on this principle, it will be permissible to press creams, ointments upon a surface as long as no lateral rubbing or smearing is done. The sages did not impose restrictions on pressing down rabbinic substances such as ointments, since the activity is one more step removed from a malacha d'oraisa. Okay, so on the Play-Doh, I could not press it. But on the, let's say for example, this is an important example. We'll see, let's try to take four for a second. I'll show you the example. Okay? Says the, this is from Shmir Shabbos Kehil Chasov. Tachboset. Okay? Tachboset is a... is a bandage. Good. Yeah, tachboset is a bandage. Shemeshucha aleha mishcha mivaod yom. So you would apply the ointment beforehand from before Shabbos. Mutar letita al guf hacholeh. Then you can put it on the body of the sick person. O al gabe petza hagoreim lekaev miruba ashnichlas kol gufo. Pizachol kol gufo. You're allowed to put it on his body to, in order to alleviate that pain.
To put what on the body?
To put a... lotion? No, a band-aid with lotion on it.
He
said, lohichin, third line, lohichin tachboset. This is what happens in most cases. I did not prepare my bandage. Right? I have a band-aid. Let's say a kid gets a cut, a real cut. So what are we afraid of, obviously, nowadays?
Infection,
okay? So now, obviously, the very best thing to do is get a spread. And then you don't have this problem at all. What? Right. An antibacterial spray, and that's, you know, fine. But if you don't have the spray, which is good to have anyway, kids are less, I don't know. Well, they don't like it. It does stink. Okay? But, lo echin tachboshet, mutar lahotzi et hamishcha mishufarta, you're allowed to take the ointment out of its shufoferet, out of its tube, uletita al guf hacholeh, al hapetza, al gabi hagaza. I can put it on the wound, or I can, let's say, put it on the gauze. So you, I have a very small band-aid, but you can see I'm going to take it and put it on the gauze, okay? And then, ulitita al guva chole. And then let's assume, for example, I'm putting the band-aid on the finger, then I'm just going to put it on the body. Well, oh, this, it's not really doing so well for my band-aid, but whatever. You get the picture, okay? Why? Or another thing I can do is I want to take it out and put it with a Q-tip or a stick, right? I didn't press it down, okay? And then I want to put it on my right. Instead, I just want to put it on the wound. I'm not allowed to rub it, but I'm allowed to put it on there. Okay, I put it on. I did not rub it. Be very careful. Don't smear it. You're allowed to put it, but you're not allowed to smear it.
They talk about lateral.
Right, lateral.
But what about if you do it in the
same thing? No.
Except lateral.
Ah, come on. You're smearing.
It's a series of lateral. They close.
I don't understand. Now, my question is, you were talking about hand cream and you rub it in.
No,
that's medical. Why can't you rub it in?
Well, first of all, you're not allowed to do it because unless we're talking about a chola. We're afraid that chola, there's a compelling medical reason. Remember, mechus ba'alma, my hands are dry, is not a compelling medical reason to use a cream. So you're not allowed to do anything medical, even if it didn't involve a malacha. But hand cream, you are rubbing in. You're not just going to put your hand cream right here and just kind of walk away, you know, and whatever happens.
Sometimes you do it with a shoe.
Very often, though, this comes up very often. What? On a baby.
Diapers.
Correct. So what do you do? What do you tell me?
You just take the gesture out of the tube and put it on the baby's tush.
Correct.
Without rubbing it, just the straight.
Now, obviously, you wouldn't do it for, let's say, for example, parents very often use the desinane on a regular basis. So that you're not permitted to do. That's not a compelling medical reason. If there's a rash and the baby's uncomfortable, we're more makeup for babies. Yes, we're very lenient for babies. And therefore, you put it either on the baby
or
on the diaper, and you seal up the diaper, and what's going to happen?
It'll smush
by itself. The baby will sooner or later sit down, and it'll smush by itself.
Because these two examples you showed where you put the cream, you use like a cliché.
Correct. It's a good analogy.
But so this way, you could actually put it directly on the baby's skin.
On the baby's skin. It's best to do what they say. It's interesting how you use it. Best to put it on a stick or a Q-tip, because that will remind you and avoid you. Because as soon as you put it on your finger, there's a rubbing accent. There's something going on there. Okay. Yeah.
What about iodine?
What? The problem with iodine, the problem with iodine is, the way you do iodine, aside from coloring, the only way to get iodine, unless you want to pour it on, is you take a swab, a cotton swab, and you're going to rub it on there. That, without a doubt, you're doing schita. You're squeezing the iodine out of the cotton swab.
But the iodine that has the little one.
Glass dropper, have fun.
Use a drip-it-on.
Right, so drip-it-on, use a drip-it-on.
An eye drop.
What are you doing with
that? Don't
worry about it. You can use eye drops.
Mm-hmm.
Eye drops are drops anyway. Some people have ointments they put in their eyes, don't they? I mean, I don't know.
And if you have a sty, there's a cream that you can put on.
Yeah.
There's medical.
But then you just take the tube and put it and place it on. And
then it will, you blink and it'll go.
Right, it'll go in. Eye drops for sure you can do, because if your eyes are dry or you have a medical condition.
Medicine.
Yeah, then it's permitted because the eyes are considered something we don't play with. You know, you take care of your eyes on Shabbos. But other things, you know, I got a sore throat and I got nose drops or whatever, then you're not permitted to do. Okay, so that is the permissible way to apply ointments on Shabbos, like Desidin or even this cortisone 10. These are the permissible ways to apply the ointment on Shabbos. What about food? What do we say about food? What's your liver for? Okay, says the Ramah, source number 7. All better off. Hagah, the Ramah says, Umutar lahachli ka'ochel de Shabbos. There is no mamachik for food. Okay? Sorry. Hollow the Esra Lachobaloza. Since you can eat it anyway. Umikom makom. Here we go. And nonetheless, Hamachmir b'machal sel tapuchim ukadom eshadarko b'kach tovo alav bracha. Right? The Ramah writes, though, it's better not to. So now, there are two reasons why you would smooth food. What are the two reasons? One is to spread, to eat. That, there's no problem whatsoever. Nobody, when you're spreading it for utilitarian purposes, No, there's no problem whatsoever. Cream cheese and whatever. What?
The other one, decoration.
Oh, right. What's the other one? This is why I brought the liver. Right? So I have this liver and I'm going to serve it, right? No, but I don't want to. I'm not going to serve the liver like that. I'm not going to put it out like that. What am I going to do?
Make it pretty.
Right, make it pretty. So that, the Rama says, you know, this is naturally what somebody would intuitively do.
Oh, yeah.
So Rama says, tuna fish, egg salad, absolutely correct. So that,
all the sugars.
What? That, the Rama says, amachmir tavo ala bracha. I'm not going to tell you it's forbidden, but you could see, by the way, why he would want you to be machmir for this. That's the smoothing that they used to do. So even though al pigin, there is no mamachek for food, nonetheless, if this were not food, if this were anything else, you would have just violated an issur d'oraisa.
Not just
d'rabbanan.
Right,
not just d'rabbanan. If it's in the mold already, you're not allowed to put it in the mold on Shabbos because that's a form of writing.
Oh, then you
can just turn it off. Like an ice cream scoop, you could certainly scoop out ice cream because that's the way it comes out. That's not a problem. Here, you see exactly what I did. I took something that was rough and made it smooth. And that's something that people really are not aware of. And the Rama says, I'm Achmir, Tavo La Bracha. You know, it's better not to do like that. It's better to do than not to do it, because that is the same format of what Mamachek really is.
This is not
supposed to do. It's better not to. It's better idea not to. If you did it, all right, you know, but it's better not to. Okay, well, this ends our smoothing, and we will continue, God willing, next.